it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody's talking about it. I don't know why, but it's game three of the ALCS.
Yes.
So, again, I don't like that people are talking about it. I don't want to talk about it because that's superstition. That's one of my superstitions. Yes. However, there's a lot of those.
The men's room top 10. The men's room top 10.
So this comes to us via BradfordExchange.com, and it is baseball rituals and superstitions.
All right.
Things that we don't talk about, things that we do, things that we try to keep the jinxes at bay, if you will. So here we go. They start their list. The rally cap comes in at the bottom of the list.
Okay.
All right.
So if your team is a few runs behind and it's late in the game, fans and players alike will wear their hats inside out and backwards or in other ridiculous ways to try to turn the game around. And that helps me because there's a handful of different iterations of the rally cap. I've seen them, you know, like kind of like fold in the back and like wear it like a dorsal fin.
Right.
I'm like, that's not the rally cap to me. To me, it's inside out. So it sounds like just any non-normal way of wearing
your
hat.
Yeah.
Is the rally cap way.
Oh, the Baltimore's ahead of the curve on that.
Oh, yeah.
God forbid anyone just put the freaking hat on your head as it is designed.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. We've been rallying for years, though. Didn't even know it.
Or one that fits.
Right. Oh, no.
I will say, last Friday night at the Husky game, game five, we were doing rally caps in the Husky game.
Oh, yeah. A couple of rally caps.
Oh,
yeah, I like it. Well, if you guys recall, as we were getting close to the end of the regular season, we also had a game that went into extra innings. I believe we made it to the 13th or 14th inning. I think it was 13 innings that we went to that one, and I was in attendance for that one. And that's when not only did we pull out the rally caps to get us tied up to send it into extra innings, but then I had to deploy the rally shoe.
What is the rally
shoe? You remember that from a few years back.
That started a couple years ago. And I'm not positive how it started.
That's
a Mariners thing. Yeah, just like put a shoe on your head.
Yeah, some kid put a shoe on his head, and that sent it out there. All
Do
of a sudden,
let
it won.
Children dictate this.
Right?
Then we now eat our boogers after picking our nose.
And then he goes to the bathroom with one shoe on.
I know. Right?
Then there was Rally Kid. You remember him from a few years back? He was dancing like a maniac, and the Mariners won.
I do remember him.
They invited him back for a couple
games. Well, the A's years ago, not the A's, the
Angels.
Angels had that Rally Monkey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Rally Monkey.
He's just funny because he's a monkey.
Wearing some sort of a lucky item, whether it's old, beat-up batting gloves, a favorite undershirt, or the same athletic cup from high school like Mark McGwire did during his 16 seasons in the majors, keeping a lucky item close to
wow.
the
Wait a minute. Mark McGwire's like, why are you putting that
You're
out there, man?
Your junk stops growing at high school?
It's Mark McGwire, Miles.
Wow.
He's on steroids.
Yeah. Huh.
Oh.
There's a reason why his still fit.
That's thinking.
Well, yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
And the cups are pretty. The cup, to me, doesn't matter the size of your junk. It's more about the size of the jock.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Also your bees.
Exactly. You got to tuck those things in.
Well, they you know, change over time.
They do.
Yes.
They do. It turns into a cradle more than
right.
a cup.
Yeah,
it's more of a hammock.
It still hurts.
Yeah.
It's like a baby Bjorn, you know? It's kind of just...
swaddled.
For your baby, for your twins.
Just keep them all swaddled up in there.
Yeah.
I got it. Baseball rituals and superstitions. Giving credit to the man upstairs after a home run. Home run is an amazing feat for sure, and many players thank God when they get one by kissing their religious necklace, making a sign to the cross, or pointing skyward. You will see almost all of them as they're rounding third, coming in home, just sending it up real quick.
Oh,
I understand
also
when they send it up, but after the game, when they say, man, glory to God, I'm like, no, because you're implying that God hates that other team. Right? There's other religious guys on that other who were also praying that they made or missed maybe that last second field goal. So you have made the determination. My prayer told, I don't know, the Giants to suck one because in this game, God wanted this team to win.
That's not so much what it is. It's not praying for your team to do well. It is more the glory to God is the gifts that God gave you that brought you to where you're at.
All right. That's
also,
fair.
A lot of people do that just as a tribute to someone who's passed on.
Absolutely.
Those important in their lives.
Some people just do it to do it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we used to do this celebration that I didn't know was from a black fraternity, but we thought it was cool. Right?
Okay.
Or whatever. But it's the Q Dogs, that one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We just saw dudes doing it, so we started doing it. And finally, somebody was like, "That you guys are not in a black fraternity.
You're not even black. Stop it.
No, we were like, oh, had no idea.
Right. Ravens kicker, Justin Tucker. He used to point both fingers up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really matter, did it?
Didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
I have something else for you.
There is a ton of religious dude. It's a baseball, but like if I cracked a homer, like that would just be my first reaction to like, suck it.
Yeah, it would be, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just put the hand up, man, and run.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The same bat during a hot streak. If you're hitting well on a certain bat, it must be the bat. Kissing their bats, giving them names, etching symbols are also common. Some players go so far as to sleep with their lucky bats.
Also, don't touch mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if I'm hot, like, don't touch
your bat.
Like, yeah. Don't take a cut.
Some guys are devastated by getting jammed up and losing it.
Sure.
You're like, no!
You know, it's not a thing for JP. You remember against Detroit, he went through like six or seven bats.
Six, seven. Yeah. There you go.
God, I'm so happy playing baseball that was never a part of my life.
Was the bats?
Just a wooden bat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a totally different game without it. But, you know, it's, I don't know, they're heavy.
Spitting on your hands before picking up the bat. One of the best designated hitters of all time, David Ortiz, also known as, is known for the spitting hand clap ritual every time he's at bat for the Boston Red Sox.
Also, you know that's what Hakua girl was talking about.
It also gives you grip, though.
Yeah.
Right? Watch wide receivers. They spit on them all the time.
Oh, especially if you see them drop a pass.
Yeah.
Right? It'll be in their hands. They drop. The first thing they do after grabbing their head is spit directly in their gloves every time.
Refusing to wash hats, helmets, or uniforms during a winning streak.
Yep.
That's pretty common. That just makes sense. Not shaving on game days. This is a common practice with pitchers throughout the season. As we saw in 2013 when the Red Sox were on their way to winning the World Series, the playoff beard definitely serves as a unifying force between players and fans alike. That's a thing for the Mariners right now is the playoff mustache.
There's a woman who smokes outside that can do that too.
Oh, no.
She has a beard.
Dude, I had a buddy
playoff beard
that was playing college ball, and I remember he was on the phone, and I picked up his glove and like went to put it on. He was like, no! Like, never put your hand in another man's glove. It's bad luck.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball rituals and superstitions. Do not step on the pitcher's mound if you're a position player.
Yep.
It's his sacred space. Just don't do it.
Sure. Don't step on the chalk, period.
Who do you not talk to in the dugout?
The pitcher.
Right. You see it all the time. Other players socializing while the starting pitcher just sits alone at the end of the dugout. It's not that he's antisocial. He needs to be in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me.
Got a lot of overwhack jobs anyhow. Also, you know what I mean? Like they're like kind of like kickers, except they play.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but when you get to a certain level, pitchers can be a different breed.
Pitchers have a different dugout. So they only see these guys once every 7 days.
Yeah.
They don't even know them. Those guys are all in their own little group, like Ted was saying about kickers and punters.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, they are not even a part of the team as far as the teammates are concerned.
Oh, no.
They are, but they're not.
Right.
They don't know them that
well. But I think the same thing with, like, goalies in soccer and hockey. Right? They are whack jobs. They're very individual. Everyone is very aware of them, but no one really interacts with them. You know, you just kind of leave them alone.
Yeah.
Leave them be.
Do your thing. As far as baseball rituals and superstitions, Miles, radio and TV broadcasters screw this one up every time it shows up. Right around the 7th or 8th inning, they start saying it.
I mean, I don't want to talk about it right now, but I mean, it's worth saying that he's got a no-hitter going right on.
Well, yeah. Well, the worst one is a kicker. He hasn't missed within 40 yards all year. Jesus criminy.
There it is.
Wide right. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
How did that happen?
It happened because of you.
But I also think they say it all the time. You only notice it when it happens, and it's like, he jinxed up.
Right.
You do, but a lot of times, I think the reason we notice more, too, is because announcers seem hyper aware of it. So, just like you said, Mike, I don't want to be the one to say it. And you know exactly what we're going to say.
Right.
Whether it's the kick, whether it's the pitch, you're just like, damn
That's
it,
all
man.
You have to say at that point. I don't want to be the one to say it. Move on.
Then shut up.
We all know what you're about to say. Shut up. And that's what we get on. Like, no matter what we get on about it, whether it actually jinxes it or not, it's part of the superstition.
And it's a former player.
Yes!
Most of the time. Like, you know better.
You know the rules.
You're the color commentary guy. Shut up.
God.
Jesus.
He's gone 8 straight innings. He just needs 3 outs, and then he'll have this no-hitter.
Done.
Hey, Brady said that on Sunday's game. Well, it's the first time that Flowers has fumbled. I swear to God, 5 minutes later, he fumbled again.
Oh, yeah.
Fumbled again.
Mm-hmm. And then this is the last of the baseball rituals and superstitions. Ted, I think you talked about it earlier this week. Never ever step on that foul line.
Yeah, don't touch the chalk.
Don't do it.
Don't touch the baseline. It's pretty simple. Jump over it, walk over it, do whatever. Do not touch it.
It is the baseball equivalent of never step on a crack.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
We used to also, if we were in a slump, we would take a teaspoon of dish soap.
Okay. Nasty.
You mean like you swallow?
Yes.
What was the reasoning behind that?
I think maybe you're just trying to, because it's so gross, it'll get you out of your brain.
Okay, I could jolt you into something else.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. That was just one of the things.
It'll give you diarrhea.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.